This is a very low energy episode. I can feel it.
Yeah. Someday they're just chill.
It's a slice of life, so it's fine.
Yeah. We're just a slice of our
life. I don't want my slice of cake, though.
Well, too bad. You must eat it.
I don't want it.
Eat your cake.
No. I'll save it for later.
Eat it.
I'll save it until it spoils.
It's going to go bad.
It's already bad.
Eat it.
I've already eaten two pieces. You better hurry. There's not going to be any cake left.
Here, you can have some cake. Eat it.
No, don't. No. Stop. That was his cake.
That's all right. I finished my cake.
No.
That's how you cheat the system.
No.
Cake wars. Cake boss. Cake man.
Cake dude.
Cake brother.
Cake husband.
Cake lawyer.
Why is your husband so caked up like that, Pino?
What?
Welcome to the Funky Anime Market. We have so many shops that you can visit. First, we have the Shonen Supermarket, owned by Garbalax, where you can find the same product in 30 different packages.
Dude, you can't even wait to see all the one thing that we have.
After that, we have Rom-Com Records, owned by Pino, where he only stocks very specific albums from his favorite shows and nothing else. He doesn't get a lot of business.
Hey, that's all right. I like listening to music. I love this one!
And finally, there's Slice of Life Bakery, owned by me, Chuck. Come in if you want a nice slice of goodness as a snack for when you're passing by. Welcome, everyone. Hi, it's us.
Yay.
It'd be us. The three
wee bros.
Let's be real. We'd all just hang out at the bakery and just eat all day.
But you guys have to pay.
Oh. Can I use a coupon?
Well, yeah, if you have a coupon.
I don't have a coupon.
Okay, so you're not allowed. Anyway, before we get any further into not doing this episode, I want to thank our Big Cash Money Patreon members, because you guys are great and you do it because you want us to maybe do more. Who could say? I'd like to thank Cosmos. I want to thank Cream Puff. I want to thank Jasmine. I want to thank Sid for you guys giving us money.
Money.
And chilling out and being in the Discord and just being stand-up fellas.
Waiting for me to stream. Oops.
He never will.
Yeah, I will.
But I think we're bad at promoting ourselves. So check out funkyanimepodcast.com if you want to go to the website. Ooh. We are on Twitter at 3WeeBros. We got cool new art now. So that's fun. Yeah. We look very fancy. All of our accounts are, you know, you'll find it wherever. And for Patreon, if you want to join and have a good time, it starts at $1 a month, where you can join our Discord and chat about shows and whatnot. Because we do that. That's where you could get our live reactions. So thank you for everyone who does already support us. And we hope to see some of you supporting us. Yay. Maybe, who could say? Yay.
Yay.
But guys, we're like 3 minutes into the episode and we haven't even talked about what show we watched.
What did we watch?
We watched Tomoko Market. It's the show.
Who made it?
It's Kyoto Animation, our favorite.
What year did it come out?
2013.
Wow, how many episodes?
12.
Wow, this shopping center has it all. I love the information desk.
But yes, this Tomoko Market was a show that came out in winter 2013, made by the lovely people at Kyoto Animation. You know them. If you've listened to like any of these episodes, you know they're good. They did A Silent Voice. They did Clannad, which we haven't watched yet. They did Beyond the Boundary. They did K-On! They did Haruhi. They did Nichijou. They did Dragon Maid. And a great many other things that we will be watching in the future. Mark my words.
Oh, yes.
Because that's... I'm going to throw you off the second floor of Slice of Life Bakery.
No. What's the second floor even used for?
To
there's no second floor.
It's called the roof. Anyway, Kyoto Animation is real good. I love them. They always put out a good product, and that's a statement that I just made. Anyway, how's everyone day go? How's everyone doing?
I had a nap.
I wish I had a nap.
Me too.
So far, that's pretty okay. I mean, I've been watching a lot more shows now that winter started. Winter anime it's season. True. We got finally a lot of good stuff coming out. So,
dude, it's the season of sequels.
Season
we
of
have
sequels.
So many sequels, dude. They're great.
Exactly, exactly. So, but it's really unfortunate for anyone who's starting the season who hasn't watched every other season of the true. Past.
Well, they should just watch them all.
It's true.
And then watch them later.
Exactly. You should just watch them both at the same time. Just get overflown with information.
Just have like really five should. Screens going at once. Just all different Dude, anime. Just, you can't just understand use osmosis any of them.
And suck it all
it's
in.
Like, like that. That's exactly how it sounds like.
Like but that we'll Simpsons talk, we'll bit talk. Where they're like, hey, this is of the three televisions Elvis would watch at once. Oh, today's Elvis's birthday.
Shout out to Elvis.
No, it was like 2 days ago, you goober.
Oh. My news and my even, local and news even, site and, lied.
And even later in the future when this episode comes out. So you're a liar. How does that make you feel to be a liar?
I retract my statement from this information desk.
It was an accident.
Wait, what do you mean?
I'm
giving you good information.
Yeah, but you're both behind the little seating area there.
No, he's sitting in front of it on his makeshift.
I'm looking
desk.
It this, up. Elvis.
This kiosk is scary.
it's the 8th. I know this. Yeah,
shit.
You stupid idiot. Anyway, Tabaco Market's an anime. It's a slice of life comedy. We all know what Kyoto Animation does. This is cute girls doing cute things. We've all seen it before. The way God intended. But have you guys heard of the show? What's about the show? What do you know? Who do you see?
No.
Okay.
All I know is
what
you first.
Oh, I was just gonna say the main girl looks like Mugi, and that made me happy. And that's all that I. Those are my first impressions and the extent of my prior knowledge of the show.
I was only familiar with a certain dancing tan anime character due to a gif. I just didn't know where it came from. So when I saw that scene,
Troy
I was like,
doing the dance. Ah!
And then, you know, I was enlightened a little bit. But other than that, other than what you showed us, like you showed us the opening, I think maybe a couple times in the past.
Oh, absolutely.
But
I really like it. But we'll talk about the opening
but
later.
I have no idea what I was jumping into. But despite it being a slice of life, I knew exactly what I was jumping into.
Yeah.
My track record with slice of life, if you guys have watched the show, isn't that
you hate it.
Isn't
you
as isn't as kind as my cohorts here would
You hate slice of life.
I know, I can't believe it. I gave that K-On! A 3.9. I can't believe it. Crucify me. Tie me up.
I can't believe you hate all of Kyoto Animation's
can't
work.
Can't believe it. I think I've only given them like threes in my, except for Beyond the Boundary, I think.
No, you gave Dragon Maid a 4.
Oh yeah, that was funny.
Or a 4 point something. You gave it above a 4. What else did you do?
Nichijou,
you hated. You absolutely despised it.
Sinful.
Oh. What, a 3 point something?
Yeah. 3.2. It was kind of mean.
Hey, man. That's
you
just
gave it
me.
You gave K-On! A 3.9, so awful.
Obviously, I hate that more.
You hated it so much.
Hated so
you
much.
On the boundary, you gave it a 4.2. And you gave Haruhi a 3.92. You hate.
3.92?
No, you gave 3.9, comma, T-O-O.
T-O-O, I remember that. That was
like,
funny.
As well. Oh. Perhaps would be a better way of describing it.
I see. Dang, yes. I really gave that a little too high of a note.
Wait, what? Excuse me?
Don't worry, we'll talk about it in the after what it was, the reunion party for season 3.
I feel like Pandora opening her box.
God.
But regardless, I've actually not known much of the show. I know I've known the opening and ED for a bit, but it was one of those shows that I had heard that it wasn't quite as good as some of Kyoto Animation's other showings. You know, I've heard a lot of direct comparisons to something like K-On, just because they have the relatively same vibe.
Yeah, similar like art style.
And same thing with like Hibike Euphonium, which we will watch in the future because I feel like that's a good one. So I never really had much background. So I said, you know what? It's one episode before the season finale, and I want to watch something that I don't really have to think about. And I just want to enjoy.
Appreciate you.
Well, because we've been watching some like kind of big shows. Like we just watched a Big Brain show. I felt like my IQ was under attack watching Dr. Stone.
Dude, I got excited, dude. Get excited.
Dude, science is crazy.
Dude, but sometimes you don't need science. Sometimes you need some fantasy ass. Sometimes
you need some good ass projector where you stick the cables into your mouth.
Sometimes you need a bird.
Bird time. Yeah, I thought Pino would love it because there was a bird. But anyway, let's go with presentation. Let's actually start talking about Tomoko Market. So, as always, one of the best animation studios out there, Kyoto Animation's animations are so good. They're so good. They're so fluid. They're so detailed, so nice. The hands look super good all the time. The mochi looks good, the show. Ooh, it looks it's everything's bouncy and nice and like well animated. No complaints. It's all very smooth.
Yeah, I mean they've always been pretty solid, so I wasn't really expecting anything less. Did I expect anything more? No.
No. It was right in their wheelhouse is exactly. What it was.
Exactly. So they did a great job. I think everything looked very nice. Even the color choices, and it just felt really nice. Especially even when they had some of those tonal shifts in some of those episodes where it's like, there's nobody in the market. And then like they had like a whole lot of darks and shadows. I was like, hey, this is okay. They're slightly flexing, which was nice.
Yeah.
I thought that it was above average, but not like exceptional, you know. It looks good, no complaints.
Looks nice.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. It looks fun, you know. It doesn't do too much crazy things, but also you don't need to do too many crazy things. And that's fine. I'm not gonna be complaining about that. So next, let's do a little bit of discussion on voice acting, because I watched the sub. Did anyone watch the dub?
Or I watched half subbed, and then I watched the other half dubbed.
What'd you feel?
I switched to sub because I was bored. No, I switched to dub because I was bored. I couldn't have... I mean, like, the sub, they did a good job, but I, like, it was just... You know, it just didn't hit me this time, so I was like, maybe a dub will change my mind, and... Dub was good. I enjoyed all the dub actresses and the actors. They were very into their roles. They all fit their roles really well. And especially the bird, Dara, it was a little grating at first after switching over, but I was like, this works. He sounded like this a little bit. He had like that kind of arrogant kind of sound in his voice, and I love that. So nice. big props to the dub. Angelito? Oh, 1 second. Yes.
This, hola.
This pues.
Oh yeah.
Right. Me llamo.
I'm so sorry. I knew that was gonna happen.
One thing that Pino, I think you would be very interested in, is that the dubbed voice actor for Dara is Jay Hickman, who also is Chu in One Piece.
Chu. I thought it was someone familiar.
Chu.
I thought I recognized some like Funimation voices.
Oh no, it was done by Sentai, so it's not.
But there were some Funimation voices, like Anko, but it's that not was, a. Mikoto Misaka from Railgun, in the dub, that is. The old man, the dad, I believe he was the same voice as somebody in Psyche, which we didn't watch in this season, but we might next season. So there were some voice acting There was a lot of good voice actors. I'll just say that from all parts, all walks of life.
I watched the sub, and a fun fact. So I'm gonna cough. I wasn't a cough. but the voice actor who played Kaoru Hanase, who was the flower shop owner, is a very familiar voice actor if you've watched any of the shows that we've watched, because that is the voice actor for Shizuo from Durarara, as well as Jotaro from JoJo.
I didn't catch that.
And I just think that's very good. I liked it a lot. And I'm like, I know that voice anywhere. I sniffed it out. But it was very wonderful that I noticed that, and I was like, oh damn, she's voiced by Jotaro. That's pretty funny. But that was great. I think the sub was very good. No complaints. Very solid all around. I felt like Dara's voice actor was good in that. I liked them all. I have no complaints there.
Let's see. I thought the main character, she sounded a little grating, but I think that it was very fitting, and I didn't really get, for like Tamako, I didn't think it was intolerable.
I think you're grating.
Well, I think I know fair. What you mean. Were you talking about the sub or the dub?
A dub.
Dub. Yeah, I think I know what you mean.
I was like, how would you hate the sub?
I think I know what you mean, because she kind of, I guess the way she delivered it was kind of like, I don't know, it felt like...
But it felt true to the character.
Exactly. There was a lot of like innocence from the voice acting. Like there was that, I'm, you know, it's a simple girl, mochi shop that's mostly on her mind, just like... And I think that was really, I think after a while, I was just like, this works. Like, yeah. At first I was like, but
her definitely head works. Is just mochi and hair.
Yeah.
That's me too. Same, though. I feel that head empty. So, let's quickly go over the OST. Nothing really stood out to me on the OST, if I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah. I don't remember much. I mean, other than the ending and the opening, I don't think much kind of clicked with me, except for like maybe some of the lyrical songs. But that's about it.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I don't think that the OST is bad. I like it. I feel like it's a very solid OST, but it's not something that I noticed a lot of when watching. There's some small songs that I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that. But not to the point where I'm like, oh, this song's getting stuck in my head, you know?
There's a couple that you might want to, you know, check out again and listen to them outside of the show, and you'll probably appreciate them a little more. But,
yeah,
you know, they weren't mind-blowing, but they were chill-ass tunes.
That is one thing that I must commend, is that, like, 90% of them are just relaxed. And I'm just like, I kind of love that. It's great.
Yeah.
But do we got anything else before we get into the thing that I'm going to talk a lot about?
Oh, really. Do it.
Guys, let's talk about those openings, shall we? And when I say those, I mean one. Because there's only one opening, which is called Dramatic Market Ride, which I think is a very funny title. Sung by the voice actor of Tamako, Aya Suzaki, who did a good job. It's very fun. I like this opening a lot. And for one very simple reason. It's just fun. It's just like a happy little opening. Nothing crazy. And it's just a vibe. It's just happy. And I love it.
And the way that, like, Tamako sings along in the animation, just, oh, it warms my heart.
Yeah, it's just a fun song, and as always, Kyoto Animation brings it home with super cute character animation. It's wonderful. I feel like it's a super fun time. this is gonna be for most of this episode. It's very good. No complaints. You know, I love the sections where they're parading around first with Tamako's schoolmates, who are in the Baton Club, and then it becomes to everyone who's in the market, and I'm like, that's so fun. I love that. And might I let you know that the outfit that she's actually wearing is what she wore the year before this, like, when this anime takes place, for the talent show for the Baton Club. Mm. And they show brief pictures of that.
I don't think I noticed
during that. Yeah, during the episode where they are planning for the school festival, there are pictures from the year before that they look at. And they're wearing, like, that little outfit with, like, that hat and the baton. It's very sweet. But yeah, this isn't a super complex opening as well, you know? Mm-hmm. It's nothing too in your face crazy, but it's
just the right amount, because, you know, it's a slice of life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's her just walking through the market.
Tamako's market. Wait a second.
Wait a second.
Who's Tamako? No, I'm kidding.
It's me. Hello. My name's Tamako.
I like the choice that she had a little mole on her neck. That's funny. It makes me go hee hee.
Why does it make you go hee hee?
Because I got a mole on my neck, but it's on the back and I can't see it.
Aw.
So I can't go hee hee, sadly.
Well, wait, Pino.
Hmm?
Are you going to be the princess?
Dude.
Are you the princess?
Nah,
the
I'm just going to make some mochi.
Mochi. But yeah, it's a good opening. I don't really have too much to say about this one because I've seen it so much. And one thing that I do, I'm just going to talk about this real quick because I might forget about it when we're talking about the characters. But Tamako is always drawn with like three hairs not kept down. And I love that much. It's the sweetest little thing ever.
Gives you that added personality.
Yeah. Because, you know, everyone's got their hair down except for her. And she just kind of goes wah, wah, wah with it. It's very fun. Very good. Very, very good. Oh, anything else we got to say about Dramatic Market Ride?
No.
Which is still a great title before we move on to the endings.
Let's go to the endings, boy.
Guys.
Oh, yeah.
Nagusi by Tamako again, or Aya Suzuki. It's Nagusi, which is, this is just a really, Pino, I feel like you have a lot of thoughts about this.
It's amazing. So this is an amazing ending. Yeah. I think it was choreographed excellently. I like the kind of angles they take. The whatever filter they have that looks like the sun's shining bright into a room. I think this is amazing. Like it's simple. It's her doing just simple things, but I think it works really well. You get to see like kind of how simple just her worldview is kind of. She's just walking around, hanging with friends, just lazing around. And I just thought it was great. It's like, it's got all that camera blur sometimes too. And it's wonderful. I love it. I didn't skip this.
Yeah. I don't think I skipped it once either, just cause it's such a vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The colors just, they feel so warm. It's almost like it gave me a soul.
It's almost like Kyoto Animation knows what they're doing or something. Exactly. Who could say?
I don't know. Never heard of them before.
I do really love this ending too. It's very simple, like Pido said. It's not one of those endings where it's punching you in the face with all the different things. It's very simple and it fits with the show so well.
And the
song's super good, and this ending is basically bookended by the records, which is a pretty big part of the show because they always go to the record shop, and the record man gives you some words of wisdom, and then he puts on some tunes.
Oh.
And so I love that a lot. And there's also a focus on the moon at the end, which is fitting because it's the Usagiyama shopping district, which literally translate to Bunny Mountain shopping district.
That's because
in Chinese and Japanese folklore. You know how, like, I think for more Western, we see, like, the man on the moon or whatever. You know, oh. You see an outline of the dude or whatever.
Yeah.
They see there's a bunny on the moon, and then there's a story within Japanese culture that there are bunnies pounding mochi on the moon. And so that's why you see that symbolism a lot in this show.
What are they doing? On the metal, yeah. That's so cute.
They do be pounding mochi, which is fun.
That's so cute.
How are we going to eat the mochi if they're on the moon?
They'll have to send it back.
It's okay. We'll build a rocket ship to go up there. I hear there's cheese up there, too.
Cheese. But yeah, super good ending. And there's technically a second ending, which is Koino Uta by Dynamite Beams or Beans, depending on what you read. Because on the father's booklet, it says Dynamite Beans, and I think that's really funny to me.
Beans!
It's beans. But this is at the end of episode 9, where throughout the whole the show up to this point, there's been a song that Tomoko has sung to herself. And
she's always trying to find out what it is. She's asked, and she's like the music
guy. I don't
know
what it be. Because it's what her mom always sung to her before she passed away, before the events of the show. And finally, this episode, she hears her dad singing that song. And she's like, what the what is that, the song? And they bring it to the music man, and he's like, oh, that's what your dad wrote for your mom. And it is the most, it is the cutest shit I've ever seen. This is so good. And it's a VHS recording of the music man and the father's little band that they had in high school. And that's what this ending kind of is. I'm talking a lot. But that's what this ending is. It is very simple. It has the song playing on in the background, and there's some talking over it at points. But I love the song because it's so simple and so cute and, like, just so sweet. And throughout this, you see everyone watching this video, but then you see the dad walk home because he's embarrassed and he misses his wife. And you see little scenes of the past where he's, like, asking her out, and she runs away, and he's working on this song. And this is also the segment where it was, the boy's birthday, Mochizu. It was his birthday, and then he starts crying. And in the song, and also the title of the episode, is Everybody Loves Somebody. And that's so soft. That makes my soft heart so, like, just like go, oh, and I cried. I'll tell you, I cried watching this.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I loved it so much. And then Tomoko's like, I love you so much even more now. And he's like, shut up. And I love it.
The show is sweet as mochi.
I know. It's so sickeningly sweet. I love it. It's like, I love it. I love it. And it's so good. It's so simple.
It was a very pleasant one. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I just love this. I love this little, because they didn't need to do that, but they did. And it's great. It's lovely. And then also the part at where Tomoko opens the door on her dad, like, playing air guitar, and he, like, freaks out and runs away is one of the best animated parts of this show, which is so funny. And I love it. It's great. It's so good. I love it. That's it. I love it.
It's a good
I have
show.
Nothing more to say. It's so simple, yet so effective.
It's simple and sweet.
Sweet and simple. But do we have anything else we want to talk about the OPED? Before I be jumping?
Nah, man.
Nah, we're good.
Okay, gamers.
Hop along, little bunny.
I'm here to tell you about the little plot that's in this show. So
plot it away, my friend.
Excuse me. This show follows the adventures of Tomoko Kitasharikawa, who is the eldest daughter of a mochi shop owner in the Usagiyama shopping district. And for the most part, that's all it is. it's just a good time. And at the beginning of the show, Tomoko finds this weird little bird. His name's Dara Mochiyaki, who follows her home.
Mochiyaki, yuck.
Yeah. And along this, we also meet Mochizo, who is the son of the shop owner who is across the street from Tomoko's family shop called, like, Mochi OZ.
All right, hold up. I want you to stop there. When did this become Bob's Burgers? Jimmy
across Jr. the street. Jimmy it's Jr.
Jimmy Mochi's across the street.
hey, Tila, how are you?
It's Jimmy Mochi.
Tila.
Wait, I don't actually care about you in this one.
No.
It's the other way around.
No, Tila, please.
That's the only thing I could think of when I was like, it's rivals? A food shop? Mochi? So, that was great.
So that's a running theme of the two shop owners kind of joshing at each other.
Hey, you stole my idea.
No, I stole your idea.
No, wait, my idea wasn't, huh?
Anyway, and so there's just a little simple entrance, and it is Tomoko's birthday is New Year's. And everyone's like, oh, shoot, we got to get her a gift. And then they forget because Dara's choking. And so they're like, oh, shoot, we all forget about the birthday.
Remember that for later. It will be important.
No.
So next, we go to Valentine's Day. And Tomoko's like, what the fuck? There's no Valentine's shit up. And so she holds a meeting for everyone in the everyone in the shopping district. And he's like, dang it. We got to do it. And it's great. And there's a little recording video for a commercial for the shopping district. And
I forgot that was so early on.
Yeah, but then whenever they finish the commercial, Dara shows a different video, which is apparently a message from his homeland about a prince trying to find his wife.
My wife.
Shut up. But, and...
Oh, wait a second. No, we should have made a better joke. You know what it would be? He's a bird, right? He's looking for a wife.
I'm looking for my wife.
My friend. It's a Ken special,
dude. No one who listens to this podcast even remembers that.
Just because we haven't said it.
That's such a deep cut. Anyway.
My bride.
Anyway. We now meet. Now the school year begins after Valentine's Day. And Tomoko and Kana, who's one of her friends, are in the same classroom as a member of the badminton club called Shiori. And for a lot, it seems like Shiori's just like kind of cold against them and is like, it just doesn't talk to him that much. And Tomoko's like, no.
It's what all glasses wearers exude. It happens. Know.
I'm running away. Talk to me.
Why can't I tell them I think they're cool?
Dara meets Shiori and falls in love with her. And then Shiori takes him back home and Tomoko's like, please be my friend. And Terry stays for dinner.
Can we just talk about the fact that in Dara's nation, the fact that if you sneeze on somebody, it's like, oh, you're infatuated, I see.
Oh, you gave me the virus. Oh, you love me.
You didn't cover up. And neither will I.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, man, that doesn't really work in.
Man, that doesn't play in 2021. Yeah. That doesn't.
We're going to cancel Dara right now.
He's canceled.
Oh, but my God. But that was a good running joke. I like that.
You love me.
She's infatuated with me.
But throughout, we see that Shuri's actually trying to thank Tomoko for her hospitality and wants to be friends with her. And then Dara's just like, bro, you gotta say it. You gotta be like, thank you. Thank and so that you. They do. And then they become good friends. And then now there's a group of four with Tomoko, Kana, Shiori, and Midori. And so that's the posse. And now we get a focus on Anko, who is Tomoko's little sister, who's very cute, very wonderful. And she wants to go to a museum with her friends, including the boy that she has a huge crush on. But she can't because her dad's a jackass. And the grandpa's like, bro, what are you doing, man? Don't be a jerk. Just wake up early, do your job, then get going. And Anka gets held back and has to do a couple different things with a couple different people, and she misses it. But Yuzuki, who's the dopey little kid wearing big glasses, who I love because he's so funny looking. They got him a little helix fossil.
Well, that's so
they
right.
can get an Omanyte. An
Omanyte, yeah.
And he brings it up, and there's a little bit about Anko being stuck in the closet, so they try and smoke her out, but then they smoke themselves out, and it's very funny, and they try and bribe her with mochi. It's very good. And then she gets a little, she blushes, because she's like, oh man, this boy got me something. And it was very sweet. It was very nice. So after that, summer comes. This show just kind of doesn't putz around with time. They're just like, we're going to summer now.
Yeah.
And they go to a swimming pool, and I immediately get flashbacks to Endless Eight. But regardless, they go and go swim. And Dara learns Mochizo's little crush on Tomoko, because we've been seeing that for a little bit. And he's trying to tell her, but he just can't. And then Dara stows away to go to the beach. And then Midori's like, hey, wait now. Stop that. I like her. It's true. And I was like, man, I'm kind of rooting for Midori, huh? That's what I was. And then they go watch some fireworks. If you can't tell already, this is a super simple, simple show. Don't yawn at me. That's not very kind.
I'll be honest. What is that, episode 5 or 6?
That was episode 5.
Episode 5, I was like, it's just a really slow slice of life.
But then the next episode, they make a haunted house in summer because no one's coming to the shopping district. But then there's like, wait, are there ghosts here? And apparently there was a ghost, but it was Dara all along. And Kanho was the mastermind. And then everyone came. And it was very cool. And then we realized that, and then Dara gets another shock and shoots his eyeballs out. And we learn that someone named Choi is coming. And we're like, who the hell is that? And then we meet Choi Mochiaki again.
And we had seen her in like visions
in the background, yeah.
From
in the,
Dara. Yeah.
In the messages from the pianist.
He's like a little shitty R2-D2.
Well, he's round it. Enough. I don't know. R2-D2 goes a lot.
Yeah, but R2-D2 is not thick.
Exactly.
He's not, I don't know. Dummy thick, R2-D2 shaped like a pill. I don't know, man. He's got that long body. Anyway,
he's got that wow.
No, I don't think he's got that wow. But so Choi comes, and Choi's a fortune teller, and she's like, what the fuck, Dara, why are you chunky as hell?
He's like, they sequestered me here.
They yeah. held me captive.
He trapped me. And forced he kept feeding me mochi.
This delicious, delicious mochi.
So then Choi's like, no.
Do not take him from me.
You're going you on a diet, bitch.
Well, that's later.
That's later. She just decides to close herself off from everybody in town. She's just like, I ain't trying to be eaten. They're not fattening me up.
Choi tells some fortune tellers, which sadly the tofu shop guy had a crush on the girl, but the girl's getting married, and he's like, oh.
Man, what is it with? No, it wasn't Kyo Animations. It was what was that one that we all hated? The Sissy Flu one? Darling in the Franxx. It's always my chunky boys that just
they get cucked. It's a shame.
That's a shame. But it's okay.
We hate to see it. It's okay. It's okay.
This one he didn't actually make a move, so I was just
He was like, thank you for making her happy. She seems very happy, and I was like, that's kind of sweet.
Yeah. I was happy about that.
But yeah, and then Choi's like, I'm gonna stay until Dara is skinny and I can talk to Da Prince. So that leads into the next episode where the chunky boy's chunky. And
that workout episode was probably my favorite episode.
It was very funny because he gets a birdhouse made like out of, and he's like, I cannot fit. And he becomes the shape of the home. And I'm like, that's funny.
The like moment of silence where they were standing around and it was just his ass hanging out was so funny to me.
And then they shove him in and then they try and shake him out. That's so funny to me. But it was another super simple. And then he gets like weird slim. But they also go out shopping with Choi. It's very cute. And Choi goes to school and it's all fun. And then the teacher says, do you have a textbook? And I giggled because it was very funny to me. But yeah, it was another very simple episode. And then finally, we get to episode 9, which is when I caught the sissy flu. That's when I realized, oh no, I'm soft. And so this happens on October 10th, which is Mochi Day. And Anko wants to have some little mochi set aside for Yuzuki, who we met earlier on in the show, who she has a crush on, but can't bring it to him in person. Then Mochizu learns that Yuzuki is going to another school, and they're very sad. So Tomoko's like, hey, go see Yuzuki. And then she starts booking it. And it's very cute because she's like, I can't let this boy go away. And so she runs. And then Dara's like, I'm going to fly and catch there. And she's like, no, that's whack. Why would you do that to me? And then it's very touching because Yuzuki goes, sees them off. And then this is when we finally see that the dad plays the guitar, singing the song, and then we see Tomoko bring him up to the store, and she's like, hey, this is the song. And he's like, no. And it's funny because the reason why Tomoko didn't know the melody correct is because her mom was tone deaf, so she couldn't sing it correctly. Oh. Which is very funny to me.
And yeah, then, hate to see it.
And then they show that ED and I cried my freaking eyes out. So that's fine. It's okay.
It was a sweet one.
It's the sweet one.
Thank God I wasn't the only one thinking that. I didn't want to be the only one. So as soon as you started, I hop right in.
Good. I'm glad. So now there's the school festival coming on because you can't be a show with any sort of school without the festival. So the Baton Club all the girls are a part of get their own cool slot of time, and they get the cool one that everyone wants, apparently the golden time slot. Yuck, I hated that anime. But they're like, okay, we gotta make some dances
and
some
outfits. I get it.
Yes, I'm glad you got it, because that was directed at you. And Midori's like, I'll do the choreography. And she can't do it. And she gets really stressed out, and she kind of distances herself from her friends, and then she gets
sick. You know, the logical thing to do.
Well, it happens to the best of us.
It does. And
so she's like, hey, I'm sorry. And then all of her friends are like, it's fine. And then she cries, and then I cried. And that's what happens, because whenever an anime girl cries, that means that I get to cry. And that's what I did. And then they're like, we give you hugs. And then I was like, that's very sweet. And then they do their dance. And it was very fun. That's it.
It's a good time.
It was a good, good one. And then we learn that Tomoko is apparently a princess.
And everyone was
treats
like,
her weird. What? Yeah, they're like, that's weird. And then the dad's like, no, I'm sad. But also during this episode, because we see this throughout the series, is Tomoko using a stamp card for whenever she buys things at any of the shops. And apparently, if you fill up 100 of those, you get to get a medal. And Tomoko's the first one ever to do it. And then she gets it, but then she loses it. And they're like, what the heck? But then it's given to her by Mecca himself, the prince. Mm-hmm. And then we go, then it goes, ba, ba, ba. We're like, wow, kind of crazy. And then the shopping district's like, I'm going to ask this dude all the things. Like, how old are you? Do you smell nice? How
can you feel? Can you poop?
Do you poop? Do you eat? And through these last two episodes, Tomoko's conflicted because it doesn't feel like anyone's asking how she feels about the scenario, which is true. No one really asked her. And, you know, she's like, what the heck? And during this episode, there is the shopping district is empty, basically, because they're all talking to the prince. And Tomoko kind of freaks out for a second. And she explains later that the last time the shopping district was like that during that time was when her mom passed away. And I was like, oh, no, I'm going to cry now. So I did. And then Tomoko talks about like how she feels about it and how she grew up in the market, and she's lived her whole life there. She's met so many good people there, and it's her home. And then so she and Dara, so Dara gets to the prince first, and he's like, please, no, do consider someone else. And then she comes in, and she's like, no, I don't want to be the princess.
And, I want to be the queen.
Oh, no. And so Mecca's like, yeah, I know you're not the princess. There were some wacky flowers that made you smell that way. And Choi's like, well, I thought maybe that the princess could just, you know, be someone like Tomoko. And I'm like, that's very sweet. But also, don't do that, dude. Don't do that.
Don't.
Don't.
And then so they all head home. And Dara and Choi are supposed to head home. But then Dara doesn't, because he's hungry and wants more mochi. So and then Dara tries to leave on New Year's Eve, but falls asleep next to the flowers that smells like the prince, who gets packed up by the florist, which is actually given to Mochizo because that was his birthday present for Tomoko. And then he gives it to Tomoko, and Dara jumps out, and then I'm like, oh boy, I'm going to cry again. And then I did. It was great. It was so simple, because remember at the beginning that apparently everyone forgets that it's Tomoko's birthday every year at some point. But this year it was different, because she brought home Dara, who she thought was already gone, and the flowers. And it was very sweet. That's it.
Hooray.
Yay.
Woohoo.
Guys, we did it.
I will say I enjoyed the second half a lot more.
Yeah.
As opposed to the first half. Despite the first half having a lot of cute Anko moments. I don't know. It was, I really liked it. Like, as soon as episode 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12 hit, I was like, hey, there we go. But that's usually the same thing that I usually go through with a lot of the slice of lives, especially with Kyoei Animation. It's like, your second half is really strong. Yeah. Why didn't you do that for me sooner?
I don't know. I liked the first half, But I still think the second half's stronger. Because Choi gets introduced and I'm like, wow, that's fun. And there's a little bit more movement. And I feel like a lot more emotional things happen in the second half, which I get. Because you need to set up all these things and it probably wouldn't work as well if like the music thing wasn't set up, because she does that like in the first episode that she sings it to herself.
And then Nara sings it. And then the guy in the shop's like, I don't know that dog.
He's like, bro, I don't know. And then we found out later it was, and I'm like, that's so fucking cute. God damn it. But yeah, overall, an anime that you don't have to really think about too much, which is always nice to have every once in a while, you know? You don't gotta tank too much. You just go,
it's a blessing. He bird.
Well, because I don't, you know, we watched things like Dr. Stone, we watched like ReZero and 91 Days and Berserk, and that's like, man.
Intense.
That's
heavy, Doc.
Damn, I gotta think about shit. And this time we don't gotta think about shit too much. Because it's a nice little slice of life, and it's very simple. Very effective, I feel like.
Head mochi.
Head is mochi, it's true. So now that we've gone through the, how did you guys feel about the plot in general? Because I know you guys said the second half's better, but anything else you feel?
It was really like the middle section, because like the first couple episodes were fine, and then it kind of dulled out in the middle, and then as soon as Choi was introduced, like as soon as she actually showed up, everything shot up, you know, and it was great until the end. Like there were a couple little bits here and there in the last half where it's like, all right, this is going on a little long, but it isn't long enough to where it's a major detriment to the show.
Like when it comes to the plot, I don't mind it. I just feel like a couple of the things were a little pointless. Like
that's what life is.
I'm pretty sure all three of us already knew, despite the fact that we all knew the marriage wasn't going to happen. I feel like we could have really done without it. Just like the whole marriage plotline.
It gives a reason to have Troy and Dara there. You know,
yeah,
we could
write it in a different way that
how
it could be.
Can you explain to me how?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm no writer. I'm just saying. I think the weakest part of the plot was the marriage, just because.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Was just,
yeah. I'll agree with you there.
Because like that's like, despite being the part that finally became something I cared about, I had no inkling to know about it even when episode 9 happened. And she's like, "You're the queen." I'm like, "Ah, of course." But
monkey-ass.
Well, and yeah, it came just... to. I like the way they wrapped it up, where she was like, "No, I'm not gonna do that. I know this. I'm gonna stay here." And I don't know. You don't see that in anime very often, or in any media, really.
Yeah,
yeah, so they never say
it was
that.
Refreshing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
Yeah.
I didn't think we were going to see a lot about the bird either. When I first thought about the show, I was like, oh, it's going to be slice of life. And then the bird was like a lot of the focus. I'm like, what?
I like the bird, though.
He grew on me, of course. I mean, he's got that sass that no man can have. Only
it's
bird.
True. Only
so it was great. I thought
Only
bird. Return to flying. No, return to bird. But yeah, I think Dara ended up being probably the main reason I stuck around, because he made me like go hee hee.
Hee hee.
Unlike crows.
How dare you.
Thank God it wasn't a crow.
Why do you hate crows?
Every time they show up except for Karasuno, they're not funny. I don't like them.
I can't believe this.
They sure think you're funny though. They go ha ha ha.
They keep mocking me. They're laughing. You stop that. Oh. But yeah, it's a show.
Guys?
One slice of life does that to us, dude.
What'd you say?
Slice of life be like that.
It does. I gotta say one more time that Dara's voice actor in the dub specifically, fantastic. Mm-hmm. He's just goofy enough. You know? I love that was a wonderful performance.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, who was that? Jay Hickman.
I already talked about Jay.
Thanks, you just Jay. Wanted to say it again. Thanks, Jay.
Thanks, Jay.
Thanks, Mr. Jay.
Mr. Jay.
Come on our podcast, Jay.
Come on, Jay. Get out of our podcast.
Choo.
Choo.
That would be pretty cool. Talk to a man who is a funny guy.
What do you know? I looked at his at Jay's page on my anime list, and one of the first things that show up is for a show called Air, where he did, in fact, voice a crow.
Oh, no. I regret all my decisions up to this
also,
point.
Also, I also want to let you know that Air was animated by Kyoto Animation.
Oh, wow. You had two choices. You picked the correct one.
I had two choices.
You chose wisely.
Choice.
Anyway. Can we talk? Let's talk about those characters now. Oh, shall God, we?
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, we'll blitz through some of them, but we will not blitz through some of the other ones, which is fine. So first, let's talk about Tomoko, since Tomoko's, you know, kind of the main gal. I liked her.
Perfect.
She's very cute.
She baby protect.
She is baby. I do protect.
Agreed. And the little hairs.
The little hairs. She got cute blue eyes, and I'm like, wow. I must protect her at all cost.
Just let her enjoy the market, Tomoko.
Honestly. Market. And she's very funny sometimes too. Like she gets nervous when she has to speak in public. Mm-hmm. And I loved with her and Mochizu how they talk through cups on
it's
the,
so cute.
Through their windows because apparently her dad got angry at her for talking with him outside, so they just do that so we wouldn't know.
Like here's now, a more secure way to do it.
Yeah, that Mochizu's mom made for them, and I'm like, that's so wonderful. That's such a cute little thing.
I think her character, you know, she fits that kind of like not stereotype, but the character type where, you know, your main heroine sometimes is a bit of an airhead. Like, but I don't think it was as offensive to me as the other ones. I think she knew it. It's just because she knew what she wanted. That's the thing. She knows what she wants. Yeah. She wants to live a normal life in her Tomoko market, which was great.
And she knows she does work, and you know, she knows how to do it.
She's not a klutz, which is great because when you mash airhead and klutz, I'm like, ah, here we go again.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
This person's responsible. Do you see how many years she accumulated those coupons, those like stamps?
She's doing great.
I was like, she knows what she wants, even though it's simple and it's good, it's adorable, and it's refreshing to have somebody like that.
I love that. And she's very wonderful. Good to follow.
Yeah.
So now let's talk about Mochizu, actually, since we talked about him a little bit. He's fun.
He got earring. He a bad boy.
He did have an earring, and I said, wow, he got earring. That was very fun.
It's hard remembering their names because a lot of them are food-based. I'm just like, there's Anko, not the bean paste. But Mochizu, I was just like, that's the boy, right? That has to be the boy. That has to be his neighbor. It's like, threw a shot in the dark. Hopefully I was right.
It was very good.
Oh my God. Yeah,
he's
he was
so
cool.
Cute.
I like, everyone in the show is cute. Like,
they never remember his birthday.
Never remember his birthday because it's
Mochi
Day. That's why his name's Mochizu.
Huh.
But yeah.
He had some of my favorite moments too, especially when he's just trying to get good with the family, with his father. I mean, the neighbors. He was trying to figure out what's wrong with Anko, trying to figure out what's wrong with Tomoko. Just trying to be a good friend, which is great. He's
doing what he can.
Yeah, man.
He's doing his best.
Is he ignored? Yeah, but that's okay. We respect the hustle.
We do. He's great, though. Now let's talk about Midori, who is one of Tomoko's...
I respect the hustle, Midori.
Right.
One of Tomoko's good friends. She is the captain of the Baton Club.
Not for long.
That her and Tomoko and Kana, who we'll talk about in a second, is in.
And the twins.
She's very cute. She's doing her best. And she likes Tomoko, she thinks. Or maybe she just wants to protect her. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? We want to protect people.
I want to protect Tomoko. That doesn't mean I love her.
I just assume that everyone in the show feels that same way.
Must protect. Well, yeah, she's kind of like a little airhead, but she's very cute and kind. And I'm like, I must protect.
Yeah. Midori felt the most real. because she had the whole stress arc. I was like, God damn, that's a good, like
that's me, dude.
That, yo, I've been like that before. I'm pretty sure all of us have been like that before. You're just like, you put so much responsibility on someone and you just can't seem to break through it. And then those tears when she was smiling, she's like, I'm not crying.
Yeah, I was like, that's so real.
You mean Chuck's not crying?
I'm not crying. What are you talking about? Guys, I realize that I'm probably the softest person on this podcast just because I cry like all the time. And that's fine because my heart is warmed. And that's what I do.
It happens.
What happened? Anyway, can we talk about Kana? I've been dying to talk about
Please.
Kana.
Please.
Funniest character
we've ever had. But she is very funny. Also, what's the deal with Coda Animation and Girls Named Kana?
It's a good
name.
This
is number two because Kana's from Dragon Maid, who's also very cute, very wonderful.
Yeah. I think she brought a lot of the humor, especially because she's not your typical kind of like monotone character. She's like a carpenter or something.
Her dad's
like,
a carpenter, and so she can make stuff. And I love, that's wonderful.
I love that joke where she's just like, he didn't fit. I'm a failure. I must destroy this piece of art. And it's like, whoa. We don't.
And
don't
she's
do
like,
that.
And she's like, I won't carry anything that's lighter than a hammer.
So great. And her dark humor. She's like, oh, we're gonna cook you up, Dara. It's like, oh,
spices on a spit, rotisserie.
And the bit where Choi was at the school and she's like, you just thought I was younger than everyone, didn't you?
Oh, the other bit in the school where she's just like, hi, my name is Kana and I really want to fix that locker outside.
Yeah, and then she comes super early and it gets fixed. It's so funny.
She's the best.
And whenever she brings in the blueprints to make a chocolate house with like a full floor plan and everything, it's super wonderful. I love that. She's great. She's so cute and so nice. And she supports her friends.
Also allergies, so I relate.
She does. Me too. Honestly, I feel that.
And I love the candy hairpin.
Ah, yes.
It's so cute.
The literal cherry on top.
Is it a cherry?
No.
Well, I mean, it's a cherry flavored. You don't.
Anyway,
know.
Next we got Shiori, who's also super wonderful. She's very shy, but she does her best. She has very cute glasses.
She's doing her best, dude. She's doing her bestie.
Excuse me?
Her rubesti, dude.
Fair enough. Yeah, she's part of the badminton club, and every once in a while she
wanted to make a shuttlecock
Dara.
Joke, but I forgot.
A what joke?
Shuttlecock, because she plays badminton.
We were talking about the shuttle, and I was waiting for them to say cock, and I would have giggled.
I was thinking back to Nietzsche Joe. I was if I see a shuttlecock and it looks like that crow, I'm going to scream.
And scream he did.
Anyway. But Shiori's great, kind of soft-spoken, but she cares about her friends a lot, and she's very resourceful. She's great. It's very fun.
Mm-hmm.
And her moments in the bathroom, which sounds weird if you haven't watched the show, so please don't come at me. But whenever she was trying to, like, psych herself up to thank Tamako, and also when she found Midori, who's psyching herself up to try and find something. I'm just like, aw, Shiori's doing great.
That was a nice little parallel.
It was. I saw that. And because Midori also saw Shiori when Shiori was talking. So I'm like, that's fun.
Yeah.
So
main girls are pretty good.
Main girls are very good. Speaking about main girls, let's talk about Dara. He's a fat pigeon.
He wasn't fat
before,
but then he got fat and he stayed fat,
and then he worked out, and then he got built different, and then he got fat again,
and then he boomeranged back.
Yeah, he was a funny man. I like his little like messages of wisdom at the end or the beginning of the episodes. I'm like, I can vibe with this.
Yeah, he's I think it was very good how I didn't really find him too annoying.
Yeah,
you know,
I expected him to be annoying
because characters like that can really get on your nerves, you know.
Yeah, I think the great performance definitely helped.
Mm. Yeah. Because those can go too far very quickly.
Yeah.
But it's okay. Because now we got one of the other main girls. Well, let's talk about Choi, the fortune teller.
Oh.
Choi, the fortune teller. Every get ready for rock, paper, scissors. Remember what you get because you'll still get your fortune read at the end of the episode.
It's better be right this time.
Yeah, you told me I was a princess once. You can't fool me twice.
But yeah, so Choi's wonderful. She does the little dances. She's a very cute design. She's from the Southern Islands where Dara's from. It's great.
She got a cute little pink sweater afterwards. I was like, this is great. Everything is complete. I know now. Mm-hmm. It's great. I like the fact that she had a little crush on the prince. I hope that goes somewhere. I don't know if there's a sequel or anything, but hopefully that goes somewhere.
Well, because they actually had a couple shots showing like the thing around her neck, because that covers where that mole would be.
Yeah, they kind of foreshadowed that, like in the last couple episodes, like whenever she was getting ready to go on the truck, she like tugged at it or like moved it to hide it.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, so is you.
So who could say? But yeah, Choi's great. Choi is very fun. She does a little rain dance, and everyone's like, "Wow, Choi's having fun."
So cute,
and it is.
And it was so well animated.
Yeah, well, thank you, Kyoto Animation, for making the simplest things the best animated.
Simple and clean is the way you're making me feel tonight.
That's Kyoto Animations, dude.
Guys, let's talk about Anko, who's the sweetest little girl.
Anko. I want to protect. Just call me
On. I want to protect her so much. She has a crush on this boy in her class, and I'm like, that is the cutest little thing.
I know. And running into her closet. Adorable.
She's so wonderful. I think she was a very good part of the family dynamic.
Yes. Very cute. Very, very, very cute. That's all I can say.
Yeah, honestly. Speaking about the family dynamic, let's talk about the dad, Mamadai. He's very fun. He gets embarrassed.
He's angry.
He gets embarrassed because he tries to put up a tough act, but he loves his daughters and Mochi.
Not going to lie, I'd probably be that way.
You would.
Don't talk to me.
I'm sorry. And there's also the grandpapa, Fuku.
Whoa, we can't say that here.
Fuck you.
Oh.
But Fuku's there. He's a little bit less in story, but still has some fun moments, you know, talking and sneaking Dara some stuff whenever Dara's on a diet. It's very fun.
Man, the whole Tomoko family is great. That's not their last name. Tomoko's
family is great. But I think now, since we've got over most of the people, I'm going to quickly zoom through some of the shop owners.
Yeah.
So let's... So Hanase was the florist. I loved her. She was great.
Wonderful. She fell asleep inside the flower thing, and I was just like, you silly, silly, silly flower keeper.
I love her. She's great. She's just so wonderful and very happy and gives out flowers, and I'm like, that's great. You're gonna lose business.
You're gonna lose subscribers.
Oh no. We have Fumiko, who is the owner of like the bake shop. It was like kind of the old lady with the purple hair.
Would you like a biscuit?
Yeah, so she gives people... I know they named it something else, but whenever I saw it, it always looked like hash browns.
Yeah,
like
it was hash browns you would get
from McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Tomoko Market.
Real shit, though. Those little like handheld hash browns that you can get at... McDonald's, sorry, my brain shut off, are very good. This is not sponsored, but they could be.
Yeah.
Man, I had toast, so I wouldn't be hungry for this episode, but now I'm hungry.
Now we're hungry for hash browns.
I want hash browns, and I want mochi.
I've never had mochi, I'm sorry. I have to tell you this.
It's good.
I'm a fraud. Actually, no. You are a
fraud. You're a frog.
Give us Patreon money so we can eat Japanese snacks together.
Or when can that Japanese like snack box sponsor us? How about that? When are they gonna spot? Anyway, we also have the Yumoto family, Choji.
And oh, dude, Naruto?
Sayuri, the old man, and then his daughter who is gonna get married.
Dude, that was just teacher from from K-On. No, I'm kidding, it wasn't.
No.
I've always felt bad because she always sat on the stairwell. Why? I don't know. For those meetings.
Because she's not like a shop owner, so she's just peeking in.
Yeah, but she still got the memos.
Well, yeah, she's still there. She was still watching.
Tamako doesn't own a shop. She's always sitting over there.
No, but she likes, unless she has like a meeting idea. If not, she just sits on the side.
Gotcha. It's Tamako's market. I get it.
La 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 la. Oh, so those are fun. We have Kuino, who was the music store guy.
Hey, that's man. Fun.
He's cool. He's a cool cat.
Meow.
Don't forget.
There's no cats in this one. Oh, no, there was. There was a cat that attacked Dara. I'm a liar.
that was good. You said meow.
And we got the chonky Tomio.
Oh, man. Tomio.
He was nice.
He had a nice afro.
He sold tofu, and he had a little bird on his head with the sunglasses.
Yeah.
Tofu.
Then we have Tadano, who was the udon shop owner who gave some to the cats, and then he's like, where's my other serving? I don't know.
A ghost.
We also have the Uatani family, who own like the fish and the meat market, and so she's like, here, take all this meat, please. And that's how Tamako learned how to cook, actually, from them, which is a nice little touch. And then we have Nobuhiko, who is actually Midori's grandfather.
Oh, he was a nice
who
man.
Owns the toy shop, and he's a fun little guy. He seems like a dapper fellow.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw him dance that one time in front of the prince, of course.
Yeah.
That was hype. And I was like, oh, man.
He was getting down with it.
I was honestly. Just like, is this a Six Flags guy? The old man.
We also have Gohei and Michiko, who are Mochizu's mother and father.
Mother. So I was arguing for the longest time. That's his mother or that's his sister?
That's his mom.
His mother, that's his sister. Now I know. Now I know who to pick for my best girl. Just waiting for confirmation.
She's super cute.
You better be doing your homework. I am. No, you're not.
I can help you. I don't want your homework. But yeah, they're fun. They're very cute together. And I feel like they have some nice fights with the shop across the street.
It's all in good fun. Yeah, oh, dude, hold up. Tomoko's dad doesn't drink. I thought that was pretty hype. We can't say that no more.
You can't say that. You can't say that no more. You can say it was pretty Komodo hype.
Komodo hype, that's what it was. Oh, I love that. How come everybody has that emote? I want that.
Well, because that's a default Twitch emote.
I love it though.
We'll get you a copy, don't worry, buddy.
Thank you. Yeah. All right, I'll just use Luffy Gas.
It's already in our Patreon chat.
Oh, Luffy Gas. Komodo hype. Thank goodness. Luffy Gas though is my favorite.
So guys, if you wanna be hype in our Patreon chat, you can use Komodo hype.
Oh man, I love Komodo hype. I don't know why it looks so silly to me.
It's very good. So next, now that we've gone over all the characters, sorry, I was like a record and it hit a scratching part. And I went,
what else did you go? And? But also? I didn't think that was going to transition well. You know what? I don't know what I expected.
Welcome to the 78th edition of Who's the Best Grill, the part of the podcast where each contestant went for their choice best grill of the episode and duke it out for title of best grill. Today, our contestants, once again, Pino Guard myself and the Patreon, be each advocating for.
The Patreon and I pick Kana.
I pick Shiori.
And I picked the dad. I picked, Mama die.
Mama die.
Mama die because he's great. So who wants to go first?
Man, Kana is the best. She's got that, you know, laid back attitude, but she's so smart and she can build shit. She can fix shit. You know how useful that is?
Yeah.
And how much I would be able to, we could just be building stuff together.
It's not duct tape and WD-40 anymore. It's Kana, dude.
Proper nail and screwdriver.
You don't. She can nail in your coffin.
Oh, thank goodness.
Oh, my God. That's funny. I have no qualms against that. She's a great character.
She has a love for right angles, which I very much appreciate.
I lost it. Like, that was one of, that was what made me pick her, was whenever she introduced herself like that. Because there was a joke I made at work the other day. Not the other day. It was on May 25th, 2020. And so we were making jokes. We were using Microsoft Teams as, like, a built-in polling feature. And someone asked, like, what is your favorite, like, what is your ideal date? And I said, a day like today where all the numbers are divisible by five.
You're a goober.
Shut up.
You know,
you're
like,
such a dumb goober.
Loving right angles, you know.
Kinda lose. Kana loses because you picked her.
No. I love that, actually. Hold up. That was funny. Because it's divisible by five.
That was the perfect day to make the perfect funny joke. One time funny. I was ever funny.
It was I like a world that. Record. That was a good one.
It's a world record.
It was better than 2:30. Give me that at least.
2:30. Anyway. Oh, good time.
2:30 anyway, is what the joke was.
Someone else may. Now argue.
Dude, you ever heard of Prince of Tennis? Well, not anymore. Yeah. You got Princess of Badminton. That's what you get with Shiori. She got glasses. I got glasses. We can be blind together. Who gives a crap? Also, that's the only reason.
Why? Because she plays badminton?
Yeah. What do you want to play sports? I want to play badminton.
It's true. I've played badminton before. It's pretty okay. I think
she's a good character. I liked her little mini arc, as we've kind of mentioned before, where she kind of learns to open up a little bit, which is always hard for somebody to do. So, you know, props to that. That's mostly why I picked her. And afterwards, she kind of fell into the background, but still,
she has her little hand moment where she's like, oh, where she goes, wow, Tomoko's a princess. Yeah. You know, that's my favorite. I made that an emote as well. If you guys want to join our Patreon, we have an emote where she goes, wow.
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 Wow. But that's why I picked her. Good character. You stop right there.
You know why I think she's a bad pick?
Why?
She's not Mama Ju. No, she's 4'11". She's short.
I'm short.
Yeah, it's perfect. That's
true. She's short.
You just want to make fun of short people.
I do. It's true. You caught me. I want to make fun of Pino.
You know who isn't short, though?
The dad.
Tell
Mama
us why.
Die.
Tell us why he isn't short.
Because he's 5'7", so he's of average height.
Hey, that's almost
Japanese
my height.
People.
What do you mean?
Hmm?
That's almost my height. What do you mean?
He's taller than you, though.
Doesn't matter. I'm almost average.
He's taller than you.
Tell me more about Pops.
He's just a fun guy. And he has a soft spot for his family, and he also made me cry. He wrote a song. And
that's fair.
And he's, you know, he hasn't really gotten through, you know, that kind of stage of his life after his wife died, and I'm there to help him. And he also doesn't drink a lot, and that's okay. Which is pretty Komodo hype.
We saw him. He's a lightweight, though. It's all right. I'm a lightweight, probably. I don't know.
Also,
I don't drink.
Also, his name literally translates to big beans. And so I think that's...
big beans.
Well, because Mame translates to bean, beans, and then Dai translates to big or great.
Dude,
so
die
either
girl,
great
die
beans,
big beans.
Great big beans.
Dang.
So, you know.
That's a good show. I don't have it after learning that little bit of Mama Dai. I think you
Bean
know,
Man.
I think you're good.
Guys, I did it. I won Best Grill.
But if you don't think you won, Send us an email, send us a Twitter, send us an email, send us a snail mail. Yeah, send us a Twitter. I know how to use Twitter. I've been using Twitter for like 3 months straight now.
Send us your Twitter account.
That's not a very elaborate email.
Guys, send us a monkey.
Please.
Send those to a monkey. I don't need one.
Please. Ride wife. Send my
wife good.
Kill wife.
So we do have an email. And this is from Alex, so thank you, Alex.
Alex.
This is titled, maybe they'll see this one. I did. So the email is, so if you were a fan of a series for a long time, and then it came out that the creator was doing some very terrible things, do you think you would still continue to be a fan of the series, or would you no longer consume that story?
Oh, that's rough, because it's. I'm assuming he's alluding to a certain mangaka that had a similar situation go on. That's rough. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean,
the answer is kind of like probably, because I mean, like, it depends on what happens, but I mean, we can assume it's something pretty egregious and it's like, yeah, everyone just kind of stops talking about it.
Yeah, I don't think it would affect the way I see the story, but I think it would affect the way I see the person, and I don't think I would want to support the person directly. So off to the seven seas I go.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing that's always a little bit rough when you have to talk about that, because
separating the art from the artist.
Well, like just you know, as an example that we all probably know, Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jackson most likely did some extremely terrible things, and like I know that, but especially with art and like media, like manga or anime or something like that. It is not just that one person making it. And I feel like it's a real disservice to everyone else who had worked on that. Because, like, for Michael Jackson, he did not write, sing, mix, and do everything with his music. That's just there's a not team true. Behind it. Yeah, and I feel like it's a real disservice to the people who aren't shitty people, who are doing their job, and they made... like help make the good thing. Like, let's say for some reason we figured out that a director of a certain anime was a trash man. I would still watch the anime because the director isn't the only person who's working on it, you know? And I feel like I could still enjoy it, but for someone like if it was a mangaka and they're one of like very few people who worked on it, that's a bit harder. Usually, you know, not directly supporting them is probably the best way to go, because, you know, we can, you know, you are a pirate. But it's hard to say, but I feel like more likely than not, I would still, if it's a story that I really enjoyed or it's a series I really enjoyed, I'll probably still consume it, but maybe, you know, try not to directly support that, you know, problematic person, you know?
That's a good answer.
But when it's someone like, if it's, you know, just per example, a YouTuber, and that's the only person behind their work,
then you just hit the big old unsubscribe button.
Yeah, I will not be consuming any more of that kind of content.
Yeah.
So it's usually, you know, based on how many people worked on it. Is it like a sole creative venture? And then it goes from there. Mm-hmm. Kind of a complicated answer, but that's how I usually feel about that sort of thing.
Cause in the scenario I think he's referring to, like the said mangaka, was working with a different artist, and that artist does amazing work, and it's unfortunate that his art is tied into such a series, to such a mangaka, that is just like damn, you're really just like threw yourself and then everyone else you work with under the bus. Like that's not fair to like them. That's not fair to the team.
Yeah, it's a tragedy. I feel like it destroys, I know, like you said, like not only the other people working on it, but it really can just like destroy the piece of media too.
And at that point, I believe the one that he's referring to, like, it actually up and stopped. Like, they just up and stopped. So it's not like you can support it ever even further, because more I guess repercussions have already affected the serialization of said media. So
I think I know exactly which one you're talking about. And
that's what, like, I think he's referring to. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just like, that's not, especially if it's like bad, like, try and support the people who worked on it. That isn't that person.
Basically.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's what we got. Sorry for the long winded kind of serious answer on this funny anime podcast, but that's how it be.
You gotta get it out.
If you want to email us at funkyanimepodcast@gmail.com or contact@funkyanimepodcast.com. That will be your gateway to talk to us.
Woohoo! Ooh. You can always join the Patreon for $1 or $2.
It's true. And then you can send us kissing emotes, and then I will say, get away.
Come get away. Come get away. Don't kiss me.
We'll send Usami blush.
Usami. It's true. Dude, that's my favorite emote.
It is. I'm glad I made that years and years ago. Anyway. Thank you. So we got any miscellaneous before we jump in?
I don't have anything to say. Oh, isn't there a movie?
We will most likely watch that in the future. Yeah, specials came out with the Blu-rays and DVDs, I think. And then there's Tomoko Love Story, which is the movie.
It better be what I think it is, because
we'll watch in the future.
Yeah, well, the specials, we might even be able to do that for like a filler or something.
We'll think about it. Yeah. I'll give it the old.
I'm tinking.
What am I tinking?
You know what else we can tink about?
What's that?
Those ratings.
Okay, Pino.
All right. I mean, this was a slice of life.
And therefore, I'm going to give it a 1 out of 5.
Therefore, no. It's always tough. I think I was telling the Patreon, I've only just now come to the realization I'm very picky with my slice of life. It's not that I don't hate them. It's just that I need some sort of driving force or something that will entertain me through a large majority of the episodes. Luckily, Dara was there. Luckily, there was a good handful of characters in this one. But I wasn't offended by this, is what I'm trying to say. Nothing offended me. Nothing was bad, but nothing wowed me either. It was average. So in that case, I'll give it an average. See, because I really ranked something a little too high, so I got to think about where I'm putting this one.
Pino, just put it. And don't look at anything else.
I'm looking at Shiori, because that's the only thing I have posted on my wall right now. She's telling me I should give this a 3.3.
I can't believe Pino hates anime.
And this is the thing, because I like this a lot better than Haruhi. It's just that Haruhi, I guess, had a lot more stylistic.
But then rank it up a little bit.
But I won't. This was it was fun. I liked it. But it was average. Like, I don't think I'd come back to it, but I'll definitely watch Tomoko Love Story.
Yeah, we'll watch it, and I think Pino will cry watching that. So.
I haven't cried since yesterday.
Fair enough. Garb, what you feeling?
It's a tough one. I'm going to give it a 3.7.
That's fair.
I can't believe you love it.
I enjoyed it, but I mean, you know, it's not exceptional.
I joke about Pino's ranking, but it's fair. This is definitely not one of Kyoto Animation's best works, but it's...
I think it's very cute, and that's what I like about it, which is why I'm upset that I have to rank it that low. But I like cute.
It's a good show. It's cute. I mean, there's just not a whole lot to say about it. You know, I probably won't watch it again, but I am interested in watching, you know, like the specials, and I'm certain I'd enjoy the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so not bad.
Not bad.
Pretty good.
Don't worry. Once we get to edit those rankings, I know exactly what I have to do.
No.
We all get one.
No.
Did we all get one, or did we get two?
One.
We all got one.
So... I feel like these boyos said what I feel. It's not Kyoto Animation's greatest, but I still had a lot of fun with it. And I feel like just getting it a flat 4 It's probably where I'm sitting because I did cry. I did cry a lot.
Yeah, no, if it got you, I felt like episode 9 was pretty feely. I was just like, huh, I like this, but it was too late for me.
I enjoyed it a lot. I feel like it did what it needed to do. It's nothing too complicated. You know, you don't need to do too much, and that's okay.
Yeah. And I definitely recommend anybody who loves Slice of Life or just to feel warm, just watch it. It's good.
Yeah, if you just want something that you don't have to really think about too much, but just have like a chill-ass time, this and Yaru Camp Season 2, which is coming out now. Oh, fuck, I forgot.
Oh.
In Miscellaneous, I was going to ask you guys, is there any show coming up in this season of 2021 that you are excited for in winter 2021?
Shoot, let me start. World Trigger. I read the manga. I know that they upgraded their graphics significantly from season 1. It looks amazing. I watched it with a friend, and we were just fangirling the entire time. They got the Wano guys from One Piece to help out, so it looks very nice with those nice bold lines. I'm digging it. I'm excited for that. It's gonna be 11 episodes this season, but definitely sticking with that one. Me and Chuck, we're gonna probably watch Quintessential Quintuplets. Yep. Probably. Yeah. I haven't started that yet, but we've got a lot of good ones here.
Yeah, I personally, I'll probably be watching Dr. Stone.
Yep,
I forgot about Dr. Stone. Soon.
ReZero Season 2 Part 2.
Oh my gosh.
Reincarnated as a Slime Season 2.
Oh.
Beastars Season 2. We got Yuru Camp Season 2.
There's so many good things coming out.
Hey, Pino, what about, are you going to watch Souls at Work Season 2?
Ooh, I don't know about that one. Mostly because there's going to be a Season 2, and then there's this one that's Code Black, I think.
Yeah.
Which is like, I don't know. This one looks kind of cool, but it looks grittier. I don't know. I'm excited, but there's so much to like focus on.
There's so much to consume.
Yeah, because I'm still trying to actually catch up with the first season of World Trigger. I'm trying to finish Initial D since I've started that like 4 years ago, so I might as well. So I got a lot on my plate, but I know definitely World Trigger is something I'll be watching.
Yeah. How about you, Grumble?
I mean, Dr. Stone, that's the one.
Get excited.
It sounds like Jamie's harassing me. Jamie, do you have any thoughts on that? Yeah? Say it again. Say it louder. Yeah?
That wasn't me that time.
Yeah? That's really... You want to watch Dr. Stone too? That's a good choice.
She said that. Get excited.
Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you, Jamie. Oh, good times. Oh, man, anime was not a mistake sometimes.
Only most of the time.
Yeah.
But yes, thank you everyone for visiting our market. I hope you can stimulate the economy more. And come visit our shops. Probably don't enough. Go to Pino's, though. You probably won't like anything there.
I got my coupons ready to go.
But yes, thank you guys so much for listening to the Funky Anime Podcast. We've been the Three Rebros. Everyone's now sitting in my store for some reason. Like, they're just eating cake. The person who for some reason only has strawberries, well, that's Pino.
This is the worst. I didn't even like strawberries, but I still have them.
Kind of weird.
Yeah, kind of cringe.
And then the guy who keeps buying so many cakes to get the strawberries off the top and then Pino's stealing them, well, that's Garb.
Strawberries. Yoink. You got any ones with the chocolate on them?
Oh, no. Please, I love chocolate.
And me, Chuck.
I'm making
a lot of money from Garb right about now. So thank you so much for listening to the Funky Anime Podcast. It means a lot to us. If you want to support us at all, and you've gotten to the end of this episode, like, what the fuck?
But
go
wait.
Check us out on Patreon. Check us out on Twitter, on our website. And what are we watching for the season finale?
Next week, we start our Ghibli traditions. Yes, we're going to watch Porco Rosso. I'll be hosting that one, and I don't know what it's about. Woohoo!
It's about flying pigs.
Well, now I know. Well, when pigs fly. I can't wait to watch. We made it. Season 3 is almost over. I'm glad everybody who's here is watching.
Is here. Yeah.
Thank you for being here. I hope you're excited. Love y'all. Get excited.
Guys, thank you for listening to Fucking Idiot Podcast. We've been through Rose. Tell your mom you love her. And we'll see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.